Like Spec continues on 89.7 WUWM. I'm Audrey Nowakowski.
And I'm Mitch Teich. For centuries, human civilization has used boats for work and transportation. However, rowing boats for sport didn't start until the early and mid-1800s at English universities like Oxford and Cambridge.
It caught on later in the U.S., though the annual rowing match between Harvard and Yale has been held for more than 150 years.
Here in Wisconsin, the Milwaukee Rowing Club was founded in 1894 and has gradually moved down the river from north of the North Avenue Dam to its current spot on Commerce Street in a boathouse constructed in 2003.
You might have seen teams of rowers in bright shirts amidst the paddle taverns and tour boats on the Milwaukee River, but most people have never sat down in a racing shell. So for this month's Fit for You, I joined Roger Huffman, Milwaukee Rowing Club director and head girls coach, for an introduction to the sport.
And go. Yep, and then just kind of finding a rhythm nice and early where you're just driving through, gliding up. Drive through, glide up. Good. Two and three. We can go ahead and stop there. So how's that feeling?
Good.
Yeah, it's looking pretty good.
Yeah.
I think you've kind of got the basics down, and we can maybe take it to the water and see sort of how that feels
right
when you move it out into a boat and kind of add the other element of handling oars.
Yeah.
So,
I'm ready.
So we'll go with
that.
Yeah. Ready? And go. So you start to come forward, you place the blade, and you pull. Yeah, good. And it's fine to start with no legs. I think like,
oh, yeah,
the way that you did that was actually just fine because that gives you a little bit of time to feel what it feels like to place the blade in the water and you can kind of do that on your own time here.
Huffman first explains the history and roots of Milwaukee's own rowing traditions.
The Milwaukee Rowing Club was founded in 1894, I believe it was. It used to exist north of the North Avenue Dam. And I've actually done quite a bit of research on this because I was just interested. I think it's cool to know kind of the history and the roots of where we are and what we're doing here. So in my reading and in some of my research that I've done, I've seen that there were a lot of swimming clubs, canoe clubs, rowing clubs that were north of North Avenue and up towards like Hubbard Park back in the early 1900s up till around 1930. And it was used as a swimming area. Like I said, a lot of swimming clubs were there, canoe clubs and whatnot. So our club existed among some others that had some rowing shells involved, and then ours now is the only one existing in Milwaukee. Around 1989, I think, was when there was a boathouse that burned down in Hubbard Park that we had, and that was when we made our move now to the location that we're at here on Commerce Street. And then this boathouse that we're sitting in right now is actually built in 2003. So sort of a lot of history that goes along with it here in Milwaukee, and I think a lot of people aren't aware of that history and how far back it actually goes, but it's pretty cool.
Definitely. And we're sitting amidst the different types of boats, and I was doing a little bit of research, and I obviously have no experience rowing on the water myself, but there are two types for sport rowing, sculling and sweep rowing. So can you explain those differences to me?
Yeah, so sweep is where each individual oarsman or rower has one oar, and that just goes out towards one side of the boat, either port or starboard side. And they're taking care of just that side. They have both their hands on the handle of that one oar. And then sculling is different in that each rower or oarsman has two oars, and they have an oar on port side and on starboard side. Those boats are called singles, doubles, or quads, which is what you'll typically see in our sport. In sweep boats, you'll see pairs, fours, and eights. So there's actually a person who steers the boat, which is called a coxswain, and they're kind of giving direction to the crew, and they're in charge of making sure they're not going to hit anything. And then the other eight people in the boat are rowers. So in sweep rowing, we have coxswains. In sculling, there aren't coxswains typically.
So largely it's a team sport where it's not much about your individual strength and merit, but how it really comes together with the other rowers on the boat. So is there also a key difference individual versus team as a mental mindset? And, you know, does however good you think you are really count if you're in a boat with so many other people?
I always say in this, there's no star player, right? Like, there's no LeBron James like there is in basketball where he can kind of take over a game, right? If you're sitting in an eight, everybody's got to be on the same page, and they all have to be putting in their effort in order for the boat to move. If you have one person that's not really doing anything, that's really going to affect the boat and slow it down. So everybody has to kind of play their part. So there's that understanding when you're sitting there and you're rowing that you've got to do it for everybody else, right? You can't let everybody else down. And then obviously there's this individual aspect to it where, you know, you want to win individually, and you have to understand that you need each other and you got to really come together as a unit.
There is obviously a lot of upper body strength involved in rowing, but there's also a lot of lower body strength that people may not recognize in the sport. So overall, explain to me what the physical benefits are of rowing and what muscle groups are being activated.
Yeah, I think that's a common misconception with rowing is people's minds, divert very quickly to canoeing or kayaking where you're sitting stagnant and you're using your upper body. Rowing actually, you know, is more legs than it is arms. It's about 60% legs, 30% core, and 10% arms. So a lot of people come up to me when I'm like, hey, I row, you know, they're, oh, you must have really strong arms. And then you got to explain, you know, that it's actually not just the arms. It's a full body workout throughout the rowing stroke. That's low impact. So it's tough. Yeah.
So explain to me a bit of that rowing stroke. What are, you know, the starting position compared to finish, and what are you activating during that whole complete movement?
So throughout the stroke, you have what's called the drive, where you're driving the blade through the water, and that's what drives the boat forward. And then we have what's called the recovery, where you're coming back forward up your slide and coming to compression because you're on a seat that moves. It's on a slide, and a lot of people don't know that. So you are bending your legs and coming up to a full compressed motion, kind of like you would be in a squat. And then you're driving back out of that, going first with your legs to pick up the power. We always talk about how the legs are the strongest part of your body, right? And when you put the blade in the water at what we call the catch, and you're at full compression, you're going to start driving the boat forward. You want to use the muscle groups that are the strongest at that point, right? To pick up all that weight of the boat. So that's in the legs. And then as you are driving the legs down, then it moves into your upper body swing or your core swinging through, and then finally completing the stroke with your arms.
You mentioned before that rowing is low impact. And with people who participate here, you mentioned you do mostly high school club members. But, you know, is there benefit to doing this at any point in life and having long-term benefits for your body?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, I still row, not at the level that I used to when I was rowing collegiately and whatnot, but it's a great way to stay in shape. We have about 40 adult members that are involved with our club, and they take out mostly sculling boats, singles, doubles, and quads, just because it's easier to get smaller groups of people together than it is to get in an eight and have to coordinate all that stuff. So, yeah, I mean, it's definitely something that people do throughout their lives and find a lot of benefit from it, yeah.
And also there's the benefit of high intensity but low impact. And with the method that you use your body in, I imagine injuries are not as frequent in rowing as it is compared to someone trying a new format like CrossFit or a new cardio class or anything like that at the gym.
Yeah, I mean, there's just inherently not a lot of impact, like you say. It's not like going for a run and, you know, your joints are going to take a toll, especially if you're doing a high volume of that kind of stuff. For rowing, we do enough kind of cross-training stuff or core strengthening, different weightlifting stuff that we'll do with our kids that are in heavy training. Obviously, there's different tiers to rowing. You can be doing it at a recreational level, or you can be doing it at an Olympic level and everything in between. So it really depends on what you're looking to get out of it. But yeah, I mean, it's definitely, you can benefit from it. And there's not a lot of injury. You don't see a ton of injury. There's some stuff that's sport specific, like you'll every once in a while see things with people's backs and things like that. And a lot of that stems from doing it not properly, right? So.
Now with body stabilization, these boats, they're very long and pretty low to the water once they set in. You know, it's not your typical canoe or kayak where you have a lot of give. So does this add to the core strength and the small twitch muscles in people's body that helps them be more stable and mobilized when they're out of the boat?
Absolutely, yeah. And, you know, all your muscles are kind of activated to keep the boat stable. As you said, you know, you're imagining a boat that nine people are in that's 60 feet long, and it's only maybe 2 feet wide at its widest point, right? And the part that's actually touching the water is less than that. So they are very unstable if you're not using those muscles and activating those muscles and using your oar in the proper way. If you were to take all the oars out of the boat and put nine people in it, people would be swimming pretty quickly. but we use the oars for stabilization. That kind of helps set the boat up. We do a lot of work on technique and moving together. You got to be moving as a unit in order to get the boat stable. And then, yeah, you're using your core, you're using your leg muscles. All those things are activated throughout the stroke for stabilization so that the boat doesn't rock side to side. And yeah, that stuff just gives you a sense of body awareness, right? And so, yeah, I mean, it's helpful off the water as well.
So one thing I notice with professional or collegiate teams is that the rowers are very tall. So does this give them an advantage in the water? Because you'd think everyone's in a boat, it equalizes you. But how is this an advantage, truly?
Yeah, I mean, it actually is. You know, that's the ideal athlete that we look for is somebody who's tall, lean, strong, athletic, because they simply get a longer stroke. So we're thinking about taking the stroke in the boat. If you're taking very short strokes, you're not getting the boat as far per stroke that you're taking. If you're able to take longer strokes as a unit, then you're going to get a little bit more out of that on your way down the course. So that's the thinking, and that's sort of where that stems from and why we typically look for taller athletes. That being said, though, there's a lot of shorter athletes that have found success in the sport. So it's not a totally limiting factor where it's like, oh, I'm under 6 feet, I shouldn't try it for a guy, you know. So, yeah, that's sort of where that's at.
What about the mental aspect of rowing? You know, just personally, I try out a rowing machine at the gym, and I could barely stand 5 minutes of it. And, you know, obviously I wasn't in the water with scenery around me, but it was surprisingly hard, you know, compared to running on a treadmill or things like that. It seemed much more difficult mentally to me.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely tough, and it takes a certain mindset, especially at a high level when you're rowing at a high level collegiately, or, you know, if you're lucky enough to get to an elite level, or just a high level for even our junior program that we have here. You know, you're pushing yourself to your absolute limit every day, and it's a cardiovascular sport, right? And you know, we always talk about how you know, the team that pushes the hardest is going to be the team that wins, right? And so it takes a great deal of determination to row. You know, we talked about the finesse aspect and some of the technique that it takes and activating certain muscles and things like that. But really, at the end of the day, when you've worked on your technique and you're sitting at the start line on race day, it's all about completely laying yourself out there and going for it, and your heart rate's going to spike. And it's something that you get used to in your training cycle and when you're doing things regularly. You know, if you were to just go out and sprint around a track, you know, you'd probably hate that pretty quickly too, right? And, you know, with getting on the rowing machine, if you're doing that and you just hop on and you're going really hard and you're like, how on earth do people do this? Well, it's incremental, right? And it's like anything when you start to build over time and you go from 5 minutes, like you said, and, you know, the next time you can get 10 minutes, maybe a month later, you're doing 30-minute pieces. And then you work your way up to where you're doing a few 20-minute pieces in a day or something like that. And you're really, like, finding your rhythm and finding your groove with it. So, you know, it's all progressive. But, yeah, I mean, it's definitely a very, very tough sport. And it takes a certain level of determination and push to be good at it.
Now, for anyone who is interested in learning more about rowing and giving it a try, you know, is there a big difference between rowing on the water versus the machine? And is that conditioning equal? Would you recommend people just maybe try out getting familiar with the movement on the machine before advancing, maybe to inquire about recreational programs or getting out on the water?
Yeah, I mean, really, if we have learned to row programs here within our rowing club, and we usually start people on the erg in like the first day, but by the second day, they're getting out on the water because they've kind of picked up the stroke. So it's not something where, you know, you have to spend a year on the rowing machine and learn the movement and really get it down before you could even think about getting out on the water. It's the same basic motion. I would say one of the hardest things to get used to, especially if you just spend a ton of time on a rowing machine and then you try to get yourself out on the water, there's an added element to it that you've got to now control these oars, right, and put these blades in the water and take them out of the water. But the same basic motion is, it's the same thing, right? You're using the same muscles. The stroke appears the same as it does on a rowing machine. There's just the balance and the movement of the oar that is an added factor when you get on the water.
So would you say rowing is for anybody and any age? And if someone were not quite sure if they wanted to give this a whirl, what would you say to them to convince them?
Yeah, I mean, I like to think it's definitely for anyone who wants to do it. You can do this at a very recreational level and find a lot of fun in just being out on the water. For me, that was a huge thing. I love the water in itself and water sports, and I was keen to this very quickly. But yeah, I mean, I would say to somebody who was sort of reluctant to try it to just give it a shot, right? Like, what's the worst that can happen? Maybe you don't like it and you don't come back, but maybe you fall in love with it and it's something that you really take to.
Well, Roger, thanks for taking the time to speak about rowing today.
Yeah, I really appreciate you coming. It was awesome.
Roger Huffman is the director and head girls coach for the Milwaukee Rowing Club. For additional audio and pictures of rowing in and out of the water, head to WUWM.com.